Herzlich willkommen zu Mein Element, dem Podcast vom Lützebäuer Journal und Zusammenarbeit mit dem Fonds National de la Recherche.
Knowledge is the new currency. It's not so new, but it's the currency. So writing papers is the currency. If you cannot write papers, you are unknown. People have to follow your passion. If you have a family and they are not supportive, then you cannot do it. You're on your own, in unison with nature. You listen, you feel nature around you, and you're maybe sometimes on your own completely. And you have this sort of it's harmony that you find in math, that I found in math.
Mein Name ist Max, und meiner Witte von Haut aus den Professor Stefan Bordas. Aber wie beim Stefan und irgendein Klischee-Wissenschaftler denkt, den ihr zu schwärmen.
So what I would say is it's very close to being a CEO of a small or medium enterprise, but you have a big difference to an entrepreneur is that you have no risk or very limited risk. I have somehow this, you know, oversight that I know the field, I know where to go, I know which directions to follow. So it's very much like a CEO that, you know, tries to define the strategy and then people work with that person because they think that they know what they are doing. But the CEO is not following each individual employee to tell them, okay, go here, go here, go there, go here. So that's not my style. So I like to just let people go with their own feeling.
Der Stefan aus seinem Kibob E-Feld zu reduzieren wäre falsch. Und irgendwie ist er doch wirklich nicht möglich, weil gefühlt sind sie an all Disziplinen NRW. Von Aerospace Engineering über Biomechanics bis hin zu Chirurgieroboter. Kein Feld ist ihnen zu exotisch. Was das Ganze aber noch viel mehr spannend macht als der Fee, dass sie all das Felder immer rum miteinander vernetzen. So gut von auf den ersten Blick, so wie Link, gut nicht möglich ist. Zum Beispiel fanden sie Gemeinsamkeiten zwischen der Herstellung von einem Medikament und der Herstellung von einem Airbus raus. Das machen sie, indem sie eine spezielle Methode nutzen. Und die Methode, die kennen wir alle gut noch aus unserer Schulzeit. Der kleinste gemeinsame Nenner. An den also ganz viele Fälle Mathematik. Und der Stefan und Mathe, ja, das ist schon eine bisschen spezielle Relation.
Math was always separate for me in my brain from the other disciplines. So math was I was going to say passion. It's a bit presumptuous because I'm really by far not a mathematician. I'm dabbling in mathematics as I dabble in playing the piano, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was a musician. I loved math. And when I did math, I was finding myself in a separate world, where I could be in peace, you know. So whatever was going on in my life that might have been stressful, I just went to my table and just did some math. And it was always comforting because it was always the same rules. And compared to physics, where you have, let's say, less certainty about things, in math, you can make up your own world. You just make assumptions and then you build your own world out of them. And I'm not a mathematician. I really want to say that clearly but I'm applying math to solve real-world problems. And I was never really interested in solving real-world problems until recently, really. You know, I think what I was not really interested in technology. I was reading, you know, Science et Vie and all these things when I was a kid. But so I was interested about the cosmos and how things, you know, but not that interested, I mean, that I wanted to do. It was not a motivation at all. What was, to me, a motivation was to discover the world, get to know new people, experience new ways of life. At age 21, when I left for the US, all I wanted is to leave Paris. That was the point for me. I would leave Paris, go somewhere else. It didn't matter where, but it had to be somewhere else. And it had to be far, if possible, and different. And so math was there, and it was always the topic where I was best, or least bad, let's say. And then, and French also, and literature, and poetry, and that stuff.
So and, basically
and,
everything.
And music, but and languages, but yeah. Not everything. There were things, I mean, the things where I couldn't reason, I was pretty bad.
Okay.
So when one had to learn things by heart, without logic, or without beauty, you know, because poetry doesn't have logic necessarily, but it at least has beauty and, you know, and resonance and so on. So it's a bit, and to me, it links all up together.
Mit 21 Jahren also für Stefan dann von Paris über den Atlantik an die Staaten gegangen. Und dort hin hat er so studiert, hin also Northwestern University zu Illinois gegangen. Da wahrscheinlich beste Uni am Stefan sich gefällt. Und so mal so. Ganz einfach waren op jeden Fall nicht.
Next thing was PhD in simulations for electrical, well, let's say aerospace.
Also in the US?
Also in the US.
Okay.
And biofilm. So this was this PhD advisor. So it was crazy because the guy had no time at all. So I saw him a total of 4 times in 4.5 years, including my defense. So that means that, you know, the rest of the time I was completely alone. And it was the most competitive place in the US, maybe worldwide, in my field, which I didn't know because, you know, naive. I just went there. I said, okay, it's a good place, but I don't know how good it is. Then I realized the guys are working like crazy. You come in the lab, however early in the morning, someone is already or still there. You leave at midnight, there is still someone, usually the same, still sitting there. You think, what? When do you sleep? So it's super competitive. People are printing papers constantly that they publish. And I was sitting there completely unable to understand anything about what I had to do. This code in C++ I had been given, I knew nothing about C++. I knew nothing about the topic. There was not a single word of English in this code. It was only machine language, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you didn't know what it was doing, you needed to figure it out by trial and error because the names were completely cryptic. So I knew nothing. It was so hard. 18 months, I thought, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to decipher Chinese and having no dictionary. It's super hard. And then there was this click. I don't know, again, how it happened. Somehow it made sense at some point. And then I moved forward very fast, but it took really ages. And then after that, my PhD advisor, in one of the 4 times I saw him, told me, well, now this funding goes out. We don't have funding anymore on this project. You're going to have to work on bacteria now. And until now, I had been working on fracture mechanics for aerospace components, so like a crack that propagates. And he told me, it's okay. It's the same problem anyway. So he just, and then he took a piece of paper and scribbled 5 lines of equations. So we just assume this, write that, go there. This is the basic code. See you. Right. Okay. Thanks. And basically, that was the next step of my PhD.
Wie schon einmal ein Studienarbeit geschrieben hat, den kennt das Szenario. Es geht in der Bibliothek ran, packt es in Thermosflasche aus, klappt in den Laptop ab und dann geht es los. Es lesen sich durch Bücher und Quellen zu einem bestimmten Thema durch. Leute, die im Bereich von den Computermechanics studieren, sind dabei schon bestimmt über dem Stefan sein Numm gefallen. Das leidt daran, dass ihn seit 2015 all Jahr zu einem Most Cited Researcher ausgezeichnet gof. Aber wenn Lo eng acht Oscar-Riert vom Stefan erwacht, die kann te schlecht, weil der Stefan hat nämlich ein ander Sicht auf die ganze Sache. Eng, ja, nennen wir sie mehr rational.
In Academia, knowledge is the new currency. It's not so new, but it's the currency. So writing papers is the currency. If you cannot write papers, you are unknown. If your papers are not read, you're also unknown. So you need to write papers constantly.
Is this also the reason why you are one of the most cited researchers?
Well, okay, so that I would rather it's a bit embarrassing because if I tell the truth about what I think about this, I don't know if people will like it. But but I'll say it anyway. I already did in several other interviews because I was unfortunately interviewed 3 or 4 times about this, and it's always the same thing. So why does Amazon make it? Well, because they are early in a field which is catching fire, right? So it's becoming, you know. Why does Apple make it? Because they had a very good idea and they were able to build on it and be early and earlier there than competitors. So why does a researcher make it? Because they are early in the right field. Why are they early? Usually because they have more resources. So, of course, they think about it. It's not accidental. So you need to go left and right, meet people, think. And in the background, when you run your 100K, your mind sorts things out. When you come out of this, you know, let's look at this. And then, boom, you say, and now I need resources. And that's where I think it's a bit fake, this highly cited thing. Because first of all, it's about decisions. What do you work on? And that depends a lot on the resources you already have. Because if you cannot go anywhere, it's difficult to meet new people. So I think that's one thing. The second is that it's easy to publish. In my field, I would say it's trivial. I mean, if you have halfway decent thinking process, it's impossible not to be able to publish any idea. So my claim is that in my field, at least, any idea is publishable. And that's, I know, a strong statement, but it is really true. And I speak, and that's why this is a bit controversial, by experience. So that means then you need to sometimes agree to publish things which are suboptimal. Why? Because if you don't publish, the student doesn't fail the PhD because there are, here there may be rules, but it doesn't really matter. But it's bad for their career. So you need to push them, and it's a long-winded answer, but you'll understand very soon why. You need to push them to publish, because if they don't publish, they don't make it. But sometimes they cannot, they're not all Einstein, right? I mean, they are all smarter than me, I would say. But what they don't have is experience. And sometimes they just cannot make it. They chose this field, but it's not their field. It's just an accident. And I didn't see it when I interviewed them. And so then they are here, but they need to publish. So what do you do? Well, you publish what you can. And so is that going to be the next revolution of relativity? No, it's going to be something quite incremental. It doesn't mean it's wrong, so it's correct. Of course, we don't publish wrong things, we publish what we think is true. So you have this sort of rotating thing. When you put your finger in the wheel, and the wheel rotates, and you cannot get the finger out. Because otherwise, the students would not make it. So either you stop having students, and then you go in the mentorship area, and you publish only top quality papers with one student. That's possible. If you have more than five students, I would say that statistically it becomes difficult. 5-10 students, it becomes difficult to publish only high quality things, simply because the students are who they are and you don't always have access. We're not at MIT, we're not at Stanford, we're not at Berkeley or Oxford, Cambridge or whatever. We are where we are. So we have to do with what we have. So which means it's easy to publish. And then it's about whether you get cited or not. And that is not random, because it depends how you chose the topic, like Apple and Amazon. If they make money, it's because they chose the right field at the right time. How do you choose the topic? Well, first you think a bit. So you either you come up with a new topic on your own. That's tough. Mm-hmm. Or you follow the top guy. So let's say I'm a top guy. There is always a top guy. So that's the nice thing about academia, is that there is always someone above. So... Well, although the top guys don't like to think there is a top guy, but there will always be one. So I can see where they are going. And I know that they will be cited because they are in the US. They are the most recognized people. And if they have an idea, usually people follow it. It doesn't mean it's the right idea, by the way. Mm-hmm. So usually what people do when they are top, they come up with an idea and then they cannot solve the whole problem in one paper. So often there are some holes there. And if they are top, and if I'm top, then I look at the holes and I see, this is an idea, but it's not perfect. There are this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. So what I do is I get into each of the holes that sort of, improves the original idea of this top guy.
Der Stefan und sein Team stürzen sich also an Lücken von den Publikationen von der Weltspitz. Und die füllen sie dann mit ihren eigenen Publikationen. So gehen sie immer ob ihr neues zitiert. Aber es gibt noch viel mehr Smart.
The methods we work on and we deliver can be applied to 100 different problems. It means that you can always publish things about the methods regardless of the application area. And it's always easy because we have methods. We can apply it to, chemical vapor deposition for ceratizid, but we can also apply them to actually the neurons. And the methods are not the same, but very similar. So it means that we can publish the method, forget about the application. So the IP is not even in danger. And it is very easy.
Stell dich das Ganze ein bisschen so vor. Dem Stefan sind wir tot, als wie ein Schrauf. So den bestimmten Nutzen und wird überall gebraucht. Und du hast dann egal, ob an einem Satellit, einem U-Boot oder einem Schaf. Schrauf bleibt immer dynamisch. Mit Platz vom Ersatz de variiert. An immer wann de Schrauf op enger neuer Platz gebraucht gëtt, können de Stefan aus seg Kipp eng neue Publikation rausbringen. So ein verrasset. Me och wann net wissenschaftlich alles so geklappt huet, wie de Stefan net sech firgestalt huet, huet Liewen an der Forschung och eng aner Seite vun der Medaille. Zum Beispiel, wann en regelmäßig seg ganz Familie muss zur Summe packen, an immerem ob en neiz an d'Ausland plündere muss.
It's like Globetrotter, yeah. Which we could talk about. It's a difficult thing for academics. I think people have to follow your passion.
Yeah.
If you have a family and they are not supportive, then you cannot do it. Yeah. You need to have some sort of supportive family in a way. And it's very difficult because it's a very lonely job,
mm-hmm.
because you cannot share a lot of what you do. Either because
nobody understands what
exactly.
You do.
Okay. Very few people understand the difficulties that you're going through. And if you explain it, it depends. It takes a lot of patience for someone who is not in the field to be able to really, really get into it sufficiently that they can really feel really supportive of you, you know? So it's mm-hmm. difficult. It's very lonely. But at the same time, you know, so we moved to Glasgow, which meant uprooting the family, at the time two kids, to Glasgow. And yeah, so it was in a way not so bad, but you know, it's Glasgow, so it's Scotland, so you know, if you're there with two young kids, you know, as a mom, it's not easy. So you need to, you know, go around, you know, and mm-hmm. so on. So it's not so easy, and you need to find a new job, which maybe is not so easy, depending what you do. So yeah, so that was 3 years. And then my mentor there told me, you know, you need to focus on research because teaching will not get you promoted. And okay, well, at least it's clear. So I went 100%, and I made a lot of mistakes because I was applying for all grant proposals I could apply for, which means also for family. Obviously, it's not very nice because, you know, even at home you work. So, I mean, it's constant. But then if you don't do it, you feel that, you know, the fact that you moved only that family along with you is for nothing because you're not giving yourself the full potential. You're not working at your full potential. So I could not have done less, you know. So I was mm-hmm. leaving in the morning on my bike, whatever the weather was, at 7:30 I was at the swimming pool, swimming for half an hour, then coming into the office. I was the first there until people arrived, usually 10. I had done a lot of work, and then I met with people that I needed to meet with, mm-hmm. then left again in the evening, worked again for whatever number of hours, took care of the kids, putting them to bed, did whatever I could with the, you know, mm-hmm. the energy that was there. And then every day like this for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that was quite something. Also teaching, but stuff you don't, you know, necessarily have, you've never taught before. So you need to learn this as well. Mm-hmm. So I tried to minimize the damage, let's say, and I did whatever I could with the time I had.
When did you choose, this will be the way that I will go to study mathematics and IT?
So the answer is going to be even less romantic than the previous one. So when I was a kid, I think my parents were quite insecure about themselves, and therefore they projected this insecurity onto me, and they asked me to literally sit down for periods that were up to 10 to 12 hours a day when I was 8, 10, you know. So it means at that age I needed to sit down and do what I had to do, but not only what I had to do in class, because that was to their mind much insufficient, but also sit down and do math, all the textbooks, you know, that, you know, some are here, that I could have found, all the exercises that I could have made in math, I should have made them. So they bought all the books in French that existed at that particular age, and I had to do all the exercises in this, in physics, in chemistry, in biology when it came up, and then in philosophy, in history, in French, in literature, and so on. So, I mean, it's just like the gargantuan approach of Rabelais. So it's definitely not the Montaigne approach where you in tête bien faite vaut mieux qu'une tête bien pleine, but it's there quite the opposite. You try to stuff stuff in the brain because you don't really trust that person to find it about on their own. So I think I was at the beginning really brought up with the idea you work constantly. So there is no break and there is no respite. You never stop. And that I still have now. It's very difficult for me to sit down and do nothing. It's almost impossible. So I have to do something. Maybe I have ADHD, I don't know. But I just cannot sit down and do nothing.
Diese Podcast zu mir am Stefan sich im Büro abgeholt. Han hat den Pult, hängt ein groß Schiefertafel, ob der Stefan für kurzem nach etwas ausgeraschen wird. Um der Schneefdeutz leihen Al Bischer als ein bekannter Fantasy-Reihe, an unter Mauer, do hängen ein Rutsch von Medaillen. Der Stefan ist nämlich Ultramarathon-Läfer.
Alle, alle! How do you feel?
Very good, very good. Very alive.
That's good. Au courage!
Als Ultramarathon bezeichnen den Alllauf, der mehr wie 42 Kilometer lang ist. Also, egal ob es nur 50, 80 oder 120 Kilometer sind, nur oben hin geht es kein Deckel. Für mich, den sich knapp für einen normalen Joggingrund abgerabt kriegt, unvorstellbar. Mit Stefan, der lief aus einem ganz anderen Grund.
But you know, when you're running in the middle of the Müllertal, I don't know what time it was, maybe 3. So, yeah, normally you're sleeping already by some for some time, and it's 3 or 4, so you see the moon, you know, and then you have these trees which filter the light, and you have these shadows. You don't see the stones really, but you hear the owls talking to each other in an eerie but like lunar way. It's amazing. I mean, these moments you don't forget at all. It's camaraderie because your friends help you out, you help them out, someone forgot water, you give your water. And you know, people are just supportive of each other and thinking that, you know, when you reach, when you think you reach the maximum of your abilities, you'll still have 60% to go probably. So you're probably at 40% and you think you are already above 100. And every time I suffer because I'm trying to go faster in these intervals and the guy in front of me is still faster. I can't catch up. And I'm thinking, come on, man, don't give up now. Yes, your belly is hurting. Your legs are like lead and you cannot walk, but just try. And I'm saying this, it sounds extraordinary. It's not, but I think it's what is beautiful is that it's extraordinary for you at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I also, for the students, it's the same thing. You tell them it's going to be extremely difficult, but you're going to overcome this and you're going to become someone better at the end. And it will be the hardest thing that you can do at that very moment. And the thing is that step by step, you increase the bar of what you can reach. And ultra endurance is nice because even getting older, you can get better. And you see people, they are extraordinary, and it's so motivating. It's outside, it's in nature. Nature is something for me very important because you can find this, you know, like when you do ski mountaineering, you go up a slope and you go down on the other side, and you're on your own in unison with nature. You listen, you feel nature around you, and you're maybe sometimes on your own completely, and you have this sort of this harmony. Mm-hmm. That you find in math, that I found in math, and that many people find, but when you say that to someone who didn't experience it, it's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. It feels like very esoteric. I mean, almost made up because it's too weird. But this is what this is what you feel when you see the connections between things that you haven't seen before. It could happen probably in other things, but I didn't experience it as strongly as in math. And so in running, this is what I feel, and and how to start, just put sneakers and start by walking. That's what I did. And then
eventuell kannst du gerade die ein oder andere Person am Stefan rum. Es steht dir für ein Problem, es geht dir wirklich nicht weiter. Dann musst du dich sprechen und dann bin ich, zack, Problem gelöst. Wie wenn das einfachste in der Welt gewesen wäre. Für den Stefan ist Sport also extrem wichtig. Und das leidet auch nur, weil wenn wir mittlerweile etwas über den Stefan wissen, dann, dass hin immer eine Bewegung ist. Und da hat sich erkannt. Du fragst ihn so schust, wie nie an ob der Stefan überhaupt irgendwann kann stehen bleiben oder so. So, los ist schon kommen.
You're asking the question I'm asking myself absolutely every single day, but I realized this was something I needed to solve because it seems like there will be no end, right, to it. And that you build a sense of fulfillment only by being challenged. And I think to love the struggle, it's a bit what my daughter tells me. And I don't know, because so I have some goals for, first of all, raising my kids until they are able to get become independent. And I think when that happens, I will have more free time for, not free time, but more, let's say, less responsibilities in a certain way, that I can take more risks and maybe do things that I wouldn't be able to do now. But what I think is that, I don't know, it's very difficult because I'm, you know, one could picture oneself in a chalet in the mountains, for example, putting the ski on in the winter, going up and coming back down and writing books. But that's a bit lonely, although part of me likes this. The other way would be I would like to share what I learned, and so that others don't make the same mistakes. Because it may look like, you know, everything is wonderful and beautiful and works and all that, and the citations are there and the grants are there, yes, but you don't get there accidentally. You make mistakes constantly. And that, yesterday we were playing football with the kids and a dad there on the Belleval Plaza, and the guy said, I don't know who said, someone was in the, was the goalkeeper, and was saying, oh, I keep failing all the time. And so he said, no, there is no failure. Either you win or you learn. So, and I thought that was absolutely exactly what would summarize the whole thing. Either you win or you learn. And sometimes when you win, you also learn. I mean, probably all the time. And that's, I don't know. I mean, I would like to have a personal impact on people. And that's the point. No. But there are other ways. You know, you can help people. This morning I was telling Augustine going to school that I would like to go to Africa and try to help people actually develop their knowledge skills. And, you know, be it in whatever topic, math, life, coaching, helping. I like individuals. I like people, individual people, and I would like to have impact there. But at the same time, yeah, it's motivating to think that you can have a technical impact on a certain industry. So we're working in space with a startup called Spark on industrialization of certain techniques that we developed here in the lab. And that's also something that's motivating, because then you think, you know, maybe this satellite goes out thanks to what we did, you know, and that also motivates me, I think, is the engineering part of me. So I don't know. I think it will be a struggle between the more personal part of me and the people-oriented part and the technological-oriented part and the nature-oriented part and the search for this sort of harmony. And maybe there is a way to make all three components meet together. I don't know.
You said trying to reach harmony, trying to make an impact, and either you win or you learn. And I think that are the best closing words that anyone could have wished for this very, very interesting interview. I think people are going to love this interview.
Thank you very much.
Ich habe mit Stefan ein Gespräch, von dem ich nicht gedacht habe, dass ich so viele neue Perspektiven auf Forschung kriege. Und wenn man etwas macht, hören, das ist eine Philosophie. Immer weitermachen, und entweder du gewinnst oder du lehrst. Von Sunner May, über die Stefan aus der Forschung und über die Fonds National de la Recherche willst rausfinden, dann gerne für einen Shownote zu diesem Podcast gucken, da sind nämlich die wichtigsten Links alle gut abgelöscht. Und das war dann noch die zweite Episode von Mein Element. Wir hören uns die nächste Woche. Bis dann. Ciao.